But I got to thinking about who I'm going to see in heaven. And you think about Judas. Well, you're not going to see Judas in heaven. You think about Cain. I don't think Cain's going to be in heaven. A guy named Haman? No, he's not going to be in heaven. But I'm going to go through about four individuals. And I've alliterated it. Actually, not alliterated it, but I'm giving. Going to keep stick with the letter R. And we're going to start with number one, a rabbi. A rabbi here in John chapter 3 gets saved. You say, well, he's doesn't described as a rabbi. He's a Jewish teacher. That's what a rabbi is a Jewish teacher. But Nicodemus was one of those people that came to Jesus by night. And I know I talk about Nicodemus quite a bit. But one of the things that we need to remember is he was a religious leader and he did not know how to get to heaven. He was a religious leader and did not know how to get to heaven. Think about that. And what bothers me, I think there's a lot of them in our world today that are religious leaders and do not know how to get to heaven. You say, well, how is it that they're not going to know how to get to heaven? Any variation from God's plan is going to keep you from going to heaven. You've got to do it God's way. He has a plan for us to get to heaven. It's His plan. That's why we call it the plan of salvation. But here we see this particular individual, and he comes to Jesus at night. And he does, and actually, he's just got some questions. We really don't know what he was going to ask Jesus, because Jesus threw him a curve. Because Jesus addressed his greatest need, even though he didn't understand what his need was. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read just about six verses here. And I know this is a familiar passage, but I want to lay out some things here that we need to understand. Starting with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse number 4 says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he doesn't even understand what Jesus is talking about. And look at what verse 5 says. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse number 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And what a blessing it is to know that we have the Word of God. We have your Word on how to get to heaven. And Lord, no man can give us the way to go to heaven, but we thank you that it's written so clearly in your book. Lord, I just pray for you just to do something special and teach. Let your Holy Spirit be the teacher and keep this preacher out of the way. Lord, we're thankful. We're grateful for each one that's here. And Lord, let us see something marvelous happen during the service when your Holy Spirit does the preaching. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to look at this particular passage because Jesus does not give Nicodemus a chance to ask any questions. And why does he not? Why doesn't Jesus do that? Because he was addressing Nicodemus' greatest need. And Nicodemus' greatest need was the fact that he was not on his way to heaven. He was not going to heaven with what he was doing at that particular point. What we need to understand is, and it says here, a lot of people don't understand what Jesus is saying here. It says in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you'll never make it to heaven. You won't even see heaven. That's what the Bible says. And you say, well, what's it mean to be born again? Well, look at how Jesus explains it in verse 5. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people believe that born of water is baptism. We're going to have a baptism this morning, but Gianna is not going to be born of water when she gets baptized. Okay? Born of water has to do with the physical birth. 66 years ago, this past June, I was born of the water. Okay? The people say, well, why do you tell people your age? I'm not gonna take any of those years back, okay? I got scars for every one of them, and I'm not gonna go through them again. Okay? That puts me a little bit closer to heaven, each one of them. But the truth is, born of water is when the baby comes out of the womb. The baby is born of water because the water breaks and then comes the baby. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail with that, but this is not a biology class. My job is to explain what Jesus is talking about. And he's talking about born of water. So many people think born of water means baptism. How important is it to get this right?
Right.
It means the difference between heaven and hell.
Right.
If you get it wrong, you don't get to heaven. And Jesus is clearly saying, ye must be born again. And he says, except a man be born of water. He lists that first, right? Why does he list that first? Because that's the first birth. You're not going to be born again until you're born. It's pretty simple. But I want you to look at it. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And you say, well, how do you know what you're telling us is the truth? Born of water is really the physical birth. Look at verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. There it is again, in a different fashion. Jesus explains it a little differently, yet it's the same thing. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, the first birth again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the born again experience. What is born again, preacher? It simply means to be spiritually adopted into God's family. God wants every one of us to be a part of His family. Born naturally, if we're only born once and have not been born again, we're still children of the devil. I was a child of the devil before I got born again. I'm not saying that to make anybody mean, but I want you to understand, Jesus told the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, in John chapter 4, or chapter 8, verse 44. You say, well, did this guy get saved? I believe he did. Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 kind of gives us a hint that Nicodemus got born again somewhere down the line. Look at verse 30. Well, let's look at verse 38 and 39, because the verse 38 is going to tell us our second point. It says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And look who's there with him. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. So who was it that came up to Jesus and begged his body and wanted to make sure that he had a good burial, a proper burial? It was none other than Nicodemus. Why would he come out like that? You know for a fact that everybody's seeing him go and take Jesus and bury him with Joseph of Arimathea. He's doing that because he's no longer ashamed. There comes a point in time when you get saved that you can't hide it anymore. You just feel guilty for hiding it. And that's one of the things that Nicodemus got tired of. But number one was the rabbi. And number two is right there in verse 38. The rich man. Not talking about the rich man in Luke chapter 16. He did not go to, and you won't see him in heaven, okay? The Bible says in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. Not because he was rich, but because he never got saved. But look at what it says. And it says, and after Joseph of Arimathea, after this, Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. I want you to understand what's going on in America. I really believe there are a lot more people that are saved in America than what are standing for Jesus. We've got a lot of so-called secret disciples. Jesus does not want any undercover agents, okay? He doesn't. He wants us to stand up. He wants us to be counted. You can't make a difference unless people know you're different.
Amen.
And that's what it takes. So I'm going to go ahead and hit these two points pretty quick. Number one, the rabbi, I believe that the rabbi, you're going to see Nicodemus in heaven. Because he's here at this point and he's stepped up to the plate and he's made a decision that he's going to follow Jesus. In fact, I'll go a step farther. Maybe Nicodemus feels guilty because he didn't stand up for Jesus among the Pharisees, which he was of, on Jesus' behalf. But nonetheless, standing up for Jesus late in your life is still better than not standing up for Jesus. Do it when the Lord prompts you to. Hopefully it'll be sooner than later. But the truth is, we need to do that. But number one was the rabbi. Number two, the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph was a secret disciple. And I want you to understand, you're going to see Joseph in heaven too, I believe. Why? Because Joseph said he was a follower of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. But all of a sudden, when he saw the Jews crucify his Lord, he was done. And he took on himself the right place following Jesus. But then there's another one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. And this is one that we see that is kind of... We don't talk about him a whole lot, but this particular individual, there's one individual and there's some other people with him. And but he's at the cross. And what we see here is this particular individual is... He's at the cross and he's watched all the events that took place at the cross. He's a Roman soldier. Look at verse 54. It says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. This soldier was no stranger to the crucifixions. This soldier had crucified probably many, many, many before. But he never saw an event take place like took place when Jesus was crucified. And what he saw was, well, look at what it says in verse, let's see. It's a little farther up. I think it's verse 40. 45, verse 45, and it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Can you imagine in the middle of the day it got dark, pitch dark, for 3 hours? He said, "Now I've seen many crucifixions. I've crucified many people. And yet I've never seen anything like this." Not only did they see the 3 hours of darkness while Jesus was on the cross, but they also saw the earthquake that took place. And he's thinking, something else is going on here. Nature's not happy with what we've done. And that's what happened here. I personally believe that you're going to see this Roman soldier in heaven. That's point number three. The Roman soldier, I believe you'll see him in heaven. And who knows how many of the Roman soldiers. Can you imagine how many of the Roman soldiers Paul witnessed to? Can you imagine how many of the people, there's one of Paul's acquaintances got saved, and he was from Caesar's palace. He was one of the servants in Caesar's palace. I want you to get that in the fact that you never know where you can win someone to Christ. But unless they're born again, they can't go to heaven. Either that or Jesus is lying, and Jesus doesn't lie.
Amen.
Okay, so what we need to understand is to be born again, you got to be born again to get to heaven, or you're not going. I don't care what this person says. I don't care what this book says. I don't care what anybody says or anything. You better go by the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is how we go to heaven. That's God's Word for everything.
Amen.
But let's go one more place. Go to Luke chapter 23. We've got the rabbi, the rich man, and now the Roman. Luke chapter 23. And this is a very unlikely individual. Very unlikely individual. And you say, "Well, who is it?" I'll tell you in a minute. I want to keep the suspense up. Amen. Luke verse 32. It says, and this is where Jesus is on the cross, and it says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." The term malefactors is simply mean a criminal and they're being punished. Okay, I looked up the term. It's not one that we use much anymore. But if you go to Mark chapter 15, I believe it is, Mark says that they were thieves. So number four, I want you to understand, the fourth person I want to talk about is a robber. You've got the rabbi, you've got the rich man, you've got the Roman, and you've got the robber. The thief here, you're not going to see him in heaven, preacher. I guarantee you I will. He'll be there. No, yeah, the other one's not going to be there, but you got one of them that got saved. But look at what it says, and we'll go to verses 39 through 43. And it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him," talking about hollering at Jesus and cursing at him, and it says, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." I want you to get that in the fact that the thief here is acknowledging that Jesus was sinless. He is acknowledging that Jesus had never sinned. Pilate made that confession as well. "I find no fault in him." If Jesus had ever sinned, I want you to get this. This is very important. If Jesus had ever sinned, he would need a Savior.
That's right.
The purpose of the virgin birth, Jesus being born of a virgin, born through a woman without a man, was the fact that God had to bypass the man's seed because the sin nature comes from the man. And if Jesus had had a human father, he would have had the sin nature that you and I have, and he would need a Savior and not be qualified to be the Savior. So this thief on the cross is clearly acknowledging that Jesus had never done anything wrong. He said he doesn't deserve this. You and I, we deserve this. We're sinners. We've messed up. This is our just reward. But he doesn't deserve this. Look at what else it says. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all he says to the Lord Jesus. But there's a lot said in that little bit. First off, he calls him Lord. He's already acknowledged the fact that Jesus is without sin. He already acknowledges that Jesus not only is Lord, but also a king. You say, he doesn't say that. He says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Who's got a kingdom but a king? Jesus is the king. He acknowledges that Jesus is the one that can help him. He acknowledges the fact that Jesus is the only one that can help him. Now I want you to get this in the fact that this thief was already being crucified. He could not get down and get baptized. He could not get down and join the church. He could not get down and do any good works. But he did just enough that he trusted Jesus. He got saved. He was born again at that moment. Amen. And Jesus makes him this promise. Look at what it says in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And Jesus died that day. That man died that day. I'm not going to go into what paradise is a whole lot other than the fact that it's a temporary place so that we can end up making sure that it was a temporary place for saved people to go until Jesus rose from the dead. And then they all go up to heaven together. That's why Jesus was taken up in a cloud. And that cloud was a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of souls that he was taken with him. But I've got one more point, one more aspect in there. I was going over the people that we will see in heaven, but you know the only other aspect of that is the fact that we won't see them if we're not there. How are we going to get there? Well, go to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. A lot of people say, well, Jesus paid for the first part of my sin, but I've got to work for the rest of it. You will not find that in the Bible. That is not in God's book. And like I said before, please trust the book of God. God's book over anything anybody else says or any other book. Jesus is the one that created heaven. He's the one that created the lake of fire. By the way, the lake of fire was not created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. But if you don't go to heaven, you end up in the lake of fire for eternity. But look at what it says in verse 10. It says, there, Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not a one of us. I'm a pastor. I'm still not good enough to go to heaven. I work real hard to do good works. But I'm not going to heaven because of my good works. Nobody will. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
I'm not going to get there because all I had to do is trust Jesus. I gave my life to Him. I trusted Him and He gave me the gift. We sang earlier and we'll be singing it here shortly. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. The children sang, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away. The only one that can take your sins away is Jesus. He's the only fire escape God provided for us. Look at verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed God's mark. Not a one of us are ever going to. I don't care whether it's the president, the pope. I don't care if it's somebody that you think is a saint or if it's somebody that's a fine preacher or TV evangelist. That doesn't matter at all. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all, and that's all meal means. So what we need to realize is everybody's in the same boat. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus knew we were going to be sinners. And He died for us anyway. He loves us that much. If we could be good enough, and I want to get this across, if we could be good enough, if I could be good enough, if mankind could be good enough to go to heaven, Jesus never would have had to go to the cross. Right. He would have said, be good and I'll see you when you get here. I'm not going to go to the cross. Right. You just be good and I'll see you when you get here. If it was possible, that's what He would have done. But why did he go to the cross? Because we can't be good enough. If there was another way for us to go to heaven, I hear it all the time. People say, well, there's another way to go to heaven. This is a way to go to heaven. I got news for you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to go to heaven any other way. Jesus says, I'm the way. If there was another way, let's go back to what I said a while ago. Why would Jesus go to the cross? If there's already a way for us to get to heaven, He would have said, hey, there's the way to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to the cross. You just go that way, and I'll see you when you get here. But He went to the cross. Why? Because we can't be good enough. And there's no other way for us to get to heaven. And He was willing to go to the cross so that we can go to heaven. Amen. He loves us that much. That's what this verse says. God commendeth, or God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus knew we were going to be sinners. And He died for us anyway. He loves us that much. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And that verse says, for the wages of sin is death. Now that death is not a physical death. That death is an eternal state of dying. Okay? You say, how do you know that? Well, first off, we have an eternal soul. When God created man, He created man with a living soul. Because He wanted to spend eternity with man. But man messed up. But he still has a living soul. And when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. And that's why He said, when He on the cross, He said, it is finished. What's finished? The sacrifice for your sins and mine was finished. But He still had a job to do. And what He did, He turned right around and He rose from the dead. And God, the Bible says God raised Him from the dead. Why did God raise Him from the dead? God never would have raised Jesus from the dead had Jesus been a sinner. Okay? God never would have spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased if Jesus had ever sinned. God required a perfect sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice for you, a perfect sacrifice for me. We cannot go to heaven unless Jesus pays the price. Because if we choose to say, oh, I'm going to pay for my sin, guess what? You're not going to be able to do that. Because we're going to burn for eternity because our sin will never be satisfied. Our debt will never be satisfied. But look at the second part of that verse, verse 23 in chapter 6. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have to be baptized to get that gift, it's no longer a gift. If you have to join a church or do good works, it's no longer a gift. But the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid a debt, and he transfers that over to us to wipe out our debt. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. But it doesn't help you if you don't come to him and ask him. That's why he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He goes as far as to say in John chapter 6, verse 37, he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's a rock solid guarantee from the Savior himself that if you come to him and ask him to forgive you and save you, he'll do just that. And not only that, there's a place in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. I don't want you to turn there, but Revelation 20, 15 simply says, for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's two good whosoever, or two whosoever's in the Bible. Let's go to the other one. Go to Romans chapter 10. Let's cover verse 9 and 10 first of Romans 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that he was born of a virgin, if you believe that he lived a perfect life, if you believe he died on the cross for your sins, if you believe God raised him from the dead on the third day, you believe everything that you need to believe. All you have to do is come to Jesus at that point. It simply says you got to believe in Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses who used to occupy this building, they believe that Jesus is an angel called, he was created called Michael. I got news for you. They cannot get saved by praying and asking their Jesus to save them because they don't believe in the right Jesus.
Right.
But the Jesus we believe in was never created. The Jesus we believe in is the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it depends on what you believe. Look at verse 10. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you talk to God, you got to talk to him from your heart. He knows the difference, doesn't he? He knows the difference. And so what we need to realize is when we come to God and talk to him, we need to be straight with him. Look at verse 13, and this is the clincher. This is the other whosoever I was talking about a while ago. It said, "And whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can believe all the right things about Jesus, but like the thief on the cross, you've got to call on him. And the Bible says here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to be baptized. The thief wasn't baptized. You should be baptized because it just shows an outward appearance of what took place inside. But the truth is, it clearly says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I like that word, whosoever, because it means anybody. Doesn't matter how young or old, doesn't matter how rich or poor, doesn't matter what color your skin is, what language you speak, what planet you're from, if you want to go that far. But the truth is, guess what? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How hard is it to get saved, preacher? Calling on the name of the Lord. It's that easy. That's too easy. Jesus made it easy enough for a child to understand. As in the one we're going to baptize this morning. He said, we have to come to God with the faith of a little child. And what we need to do is to trust Him. If this is what He says, then this is what He means. Don't make it harder than what it really is. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's a mistake. Is it? Let's go over to one more place. Go to Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul ought to know how, know what's right and what's wrong. We ought to go to see what Paul says. Well, by the way, Paul was the one, the author of the book of Romans too, but we'll look at another place where Paul, and this is where they have the jailhouse song service. Amen. But look at what it says. The jailer, after seeing that the earthquake took place and all the jail doors were open and the cell doors were open and their shackles were come apart and all the prisoners were free. And what happened was the jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul says in verse 28, and Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. By the way, that's interesting that none of the prisoners left. All of them stayed. But look at verse 30, or verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what did they say? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. But believing is just too simple. Too simple. I got news for you. If you really believe here, it'll change you. If you believed that this building was, in your heart, that this building was on fire, I could tell by who believes it because they'd be heading out the door. Because if you really believe in your heart something, it's going to come out. It'll motivate you. It'll change you somehow, some way. It took a while for Joseph of Arimathea to admit that he was a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, but it came out. If you really believe, it'll change. Now let me ask you this. I want to make sure that everybody here, I see them in heaven. We'll walk around and we'll go look for the rabbi. We'll look for the rich man. We'll look for the Roman soldier. We'll look for the robber. But I want to be there with you. I want to be there with each one of you. The alternative is awful. It's just downright awful. And it was never, ever in God's plan for people to end up in hell. It was created for the devil and his angels. But the bottom line is, you've got to pull the decision trigger. You've got to make that decision for yourself. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. But truthfully, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to share this. A lady in Kansas City, when we started the church in Kansas City, she She came to church a few times. I met her door knocking, and she came to church a few times. And I went back to see her because she had missed a few weeks. And I said, well, you hadn't been back to church. She said, you didn't tell me how to know the Bible's true. And so that's always a big red flag. If you don't know that the Bible's true, then the Holy Spirit who authored the Bible, had men write the Bible, who lives inside of you, if you really get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside. And he will confirm to you that the Bible's true. Anybody that says that they're saved and doubts that the Bible's true, you better help them get saved or pray for them to get saved. But anyway, she told me, and I asked her how she got saved, because she had already told me she was saved. And she said, well, I went to church one time when I was 14. Now, this lady was in her 70s, 60 years later. And she said, I went to church one time when I was 14, and they told me I got saved. I told her, I said, well, let me share with you what it means to be saved. And she said, I'd never done that. I said, well, it's not too late. She got saved. I mean, tears flowing like a river. I'd rather you cry tears of repentance and salvation on this side than cry the tears of anguish and torment on the other side. And God never intended on anybody going to that awful place. Do you know for sure that your name's in God's book? Do you know for sure you've been born again? If you don't, this is the best time and this is the best place to get it settled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for you to move in a special way. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way. We want you to be glorified. Lord, we heard clearly from the Word of God today. Lord, I used a lot of passages, a lot of people that aren't going to be in heaven, like Haman and Cain and Judas and people like that. But Lord, we went through some people that are going to be there. And Lord, I pray that everybody in this service is going to be there as well. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to help us each one make the decision that's best for us. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.